Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Going to Hollywood. We're going to talk with Dan Harary, and he's been a PR guy in the world of show business for a number of years, but he's also written a book, which is very interesting to talk about, called After They Came, which is fiction, but describes things that may be very much factual. And he's also had some experiences I'd like to hear about. Dan, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. By the way, Gene, my first book was called Flirting with Fame. It came out last summer, and that was about my Hollywood career, by the way. Flirting with Fame.
Oh, yeah, I bet you've got stories to tell about that. This was a general-purpose show as opposed to a paranormal show. We go into that. On the other hand, sometimes show business is paranormal, so maybe we're missing the boat here.
Everything about my show business career has been paranormal, yes.
Well, I'm going to ask you about paranormal. In your career, according to your bio, you worked with Fleetwood Mac, correct?
I worked with Bruce Springsteen before anyone ever heard of him outside of his parents. I worked with Bruce in 1973. I worked with Fleetwood Mac in 73. I worked with Kiss in 74. And I was in high school. I grew up in Asbury Park, New Jersey, Gene, on the Jersey Shore. And Asbury Park, when I was a child, was a wonderful paradise. Then, late 60s, the riots came, and it went downhill for many decades. Now, again, it's resurrected, and it came back to life. It's a wonderful place now again. But when I was in high school in the early 70s, there was a little concert hall a block from the ocean called the Sunshine Inn. And Bruce Springsteen used to play there all the time, or he even had the E Street Band. It was the Bruce Springsteen Band. And I worked with Bruce and doing stage crew and lighting in 73. And his sax player, Clarence Clemens, asked me and my best friend if we wanted to go on the road and be Bruce's roadies, to which I replied, Clarence, we're 16, we don't drive cars, and our fathers want us to go to college. So I turned down Bruce Springsteen.
Well, that's certainly a feather in your cap. I don't know. I know nothing about the guy. My late brother, Wally, lived near a lot of wealthy people, Rumson.
Yeah, that's right.
And he had a beautiful fixer-upper of a house. It was huge. I never saw all the rooms. I do know he tried to show off. So in his master bedroom, the TV, projection TV, was on the ceiling. So you could watch TV while lying down. Which is fine, but if you want to sit up, what do you do?
Right. You spill popcorn all over yourself, I guess, right?
If I was much into popcorn. I gave up popcorn when the movie theater started selling it for like $6 a container. I said, this I don't need. I was going to ask you about Fleetwood Mac, though. How long did you work with him?
Just one concert. Bob Welch was the lead singer. This is before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. It was 70, I believe it was 73. They were very seedy, drunken kind of. They didn't even draw the crowd. I mean, they were not huge. My friend and I did stage crew and lighting. So that meant when the trucks arrived in the mornings, my friend and I, Steve, would unload the trucks, set up the amps and the drums and the keyboards, help them all that. Then we would help them set up their light show, unless they used our light show. Steve and I would run the lights during the show, and then after the concert was over, we'd pack up everything and schlep it back out into the truck. You know, we'd done at 2 in the morning, and then we had high school, you know, at 8 in the morning, so we were exhausted. But we worked with a lot of big bands, Mott the Hoople, Humble Pie, Jay Giles, Deep Purple, a lot of bands that have been lost to history.
Well, Fleetwood Mac, of course, we lost Christine McVie recently. They're semi-lost to history. Then they threw out Lindsey Buckingham. because they couldn't stand him.
If you have to choose between him and Stevie Nicks, who are you going to choose, right? You're going to go with Stevie Nicks. So, and those two don't go.
I remember this video they have on YouTube of Go Your Own Way, which is about the breakup between Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. And, I mean, he's a terrific songwriter, a terrific guitarist, and he's really doing great. But I suspect he was taking substances that you or I don't know about. And I know a few.
I'm sure that's probably true. I think Go Your Own Way is a wonderful song. It's a wonderful song. Really, really well done. And Mick Fleetwood was I'm a drummer, Gene. I've been a drummer since 1966. When the Monkees came on TV, 66, I was 10. I was a classical pianist, believe it or not, from the age of 7. So from 7 to 10, I played classical piano because my parents were musicians. And then the Monkees came, and I turned to my parents, and I said, I'm going to play the drums like Mickey Dolan. And I've been playing the drums since 1966. I still have my drum set that I got from my bar mitzvah, so I still have it.
It's interesting to learn that Mickey Dolenz was actually a guitarist, is a guitarist, and he learned the drums only to play concerts for the Monkees. But when they were doing the studio work, they were using musicians like the Wrecking Crew.
That's the first two albums. But on the third album, Headquarters, all the four Monkees actually played their own instruments on Headquarters.
They were pretty decent, as a matter of fact, especially Mike Nesmith.
He was gifted. I saw his very last show of his entire life, and then he died a few weeks later. His last show ever was in October 2021 at the Greek Theater in Hollywood. I was there. He died 3 weeks later, and he didn't look well. He didn't sing, he barely sang. He spoke his lyrics, didn't sing them, and he did not even hold a guitar. And I had seen him perform earlier with Mickey and with all the Monkees, and he was wonderful, but his very last show, Gene, he didn't look very healthy.
That's really sad to hear. It's interesting. I heard the legend that when the Monkees started playing their instruments in the studio also, when they did Pleasant Valley Sunday, Mike Nesmith was the only one to get the guitar licks right.
I always thought that was Glen Campbell. So you may well be right. But, Glen Campbell was part of the Wrecking Crew as well.
Sure. I was watching some of the videos of the Wrecking Crew and was amazed at the people. Hal Blaine, for example, who played drums with everybody in the universe. He played with Elvis. He played with Frank Sinatra. I think Strangers in the Night, as a matter of fact. He played with Nancy Sinatra. He played with the Byrds. He played with Brian Wilson because the Beach Boys could play their instruments, but when they went to the studio, Brian had the Wrecking Crew lay down the backing tracks.
All right, so speaking of Brian Wilson, I had dinner with him a year ago. A lovely guy, but mentally it's sad because he's not quite all there. But I did have dinner with him a year ago. Michelle Phillips is a friend of mine from the Mamas and Papas. I had lunch with her last week. And Hal Blaine, the Wrecking Crew, played on all the Mamas and Papas tunes as well.
Exactly. I mean, he played, 1,000 hit records? Interesting.
Those guys had the magic touch, man, all those guys.
Yes, you would understand why they were used, because they get all these magic licks in there.
Sonny and Cher, sure. And like you said, the Beach Boys, right? I mean, they were Hollywood's backup band. And all of the Hollywood talent, and in the 60s, man, look at the Hollywood talent that came through L.A. in the 60s. Remarkable, genius, the Byrds, I mean, one genius band after the next. They all came through. But then, then there were the Beatles. They played their own. Stones played their own. The Doors played their own. There were lots of Hendrix. There were lots of Cream, lots of bands that played their own. But a lot of the L.A. Hollywood type groups, and some of the Laurel Canyon groups, they went to the Wrecking Crew.
By the way, folks, if you want to learn about the Wrecking Crew, there are a number of videos on YouTube, especially one with Carole Kaye, who is apparently the greatest bass player on the planet. She's still around and still does instructional videos if you want to learn to do what she does. Dan Hariri, Hollywood PR agent. We're going to talk, though, about his UFO experiences in this book, that he came out with recently. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Dan Hariri joining us, and we're really happy to talk to him about his background in show business. We're all interested in that. I was mentioning Carol Kay here. She created a lot of the bass lines for songs you know about, like Good Vibrations, like These Boots Are Made for Walking. Right. And now in Sonny and Cher. She would take a normal, simple baseline and give it magic.
She did Walking Bass, Walking Bassline. There's a very famous song that we all know. I can't think of it now. It's on my iPod, but there's a very famous. It might be a Glen Campbell song. Yeah, one of the Glen Campbell songs. Do, 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 do. She did the Walking Bassline, and Glen Campbell said, thanks, you just made the song.
And she did that with so many. I mean, think of Good Vibrations, or even These Boots Are Made for Walking. Think about the bass lines on those songs and think of this woman who put it all together. And like I said, she's still around, and we're really glad to hear that. Let's approach another paranormal reality here. Not the paranormal reality of show business, but the paranormal reality of UFOs.
Okay.
Now, what got you into our corner of the world?
Well, two entirely separate things. A few different things. I'll tell you the big one. In 2017, my father passed away. We were very, very close, and I miss him to this very much every day. So a few days after his death, I was at a restaurant in West L.A. It was actually at a deli, Gene. It was at Junior's Deli, which is long gone. And I was waiting for my pastrami sandwich, mourning my father. And out of absolutely nowhere, and this is a true story, I'm just sitting there minding my own business. It was like, I want to say it's almost like a beam of light from heaven, but something from above was beamed into my brain. And I remembered in vivid detail for the first time in 47 years that my father and I had a major UFO sighting in 1970 when I was 14. 1970, I'm 14. My father picked me up. It was actually from Hebrew school. He's driving me home. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon in a suburban New Jersey neighborhood. I'm in his car, and as we're driving, a huge silver V like Victor, V-shaped craft was above my father's car and hovering. It was barely moving. It was hovering silently, maybe 200 feet off the ground. And I go, Dad, oh, my God, look, Dad, look, a UFO, a UFO. I'm screaming, jumping up and down, a UFO. So I said, stop the car. We stopped the car. My dad and I got out. We looked straight over our head. And this thing, I would say each wing was about maybe the size of two buses. And it was just enormous, right above us, silent and shiny silver. I said, Dad, a UFO. We saw a UFO. We saw him jumping up and down. I'm 14, right? My dad looked at Gene like he was looking at a head of lettuce in the supermarket. He looked at it like, yeah, okay, so. He looked at it like it was no big deal. Then here's the killer. Then he looked at me, winked, and said, Danny, let's go home. Now, I forgot about that, Gene, until my dad passed 47 years later. I had forgotten about that event. So I'm waiting for my pastrami sandwich at Junior's Deli. The whole event came to me into my brain like a movie in vivid detail. And I went, oh, my God. So I took a pen. I borrowed a pen from the waiter. There was a paper placemat on the table at the deli. And I wrote down, write a book. Lead character finds out his father knew about UFOs. And then I wrote ATC, all capital, ATC. And I swear to you, I didn't know what that was. I looked at it and looked at it, and I wrote, and then I realized it was After They Came. And I'm like, okay, that's the name of my book. So my book, After They Came, it just came out March 1st. It was sort of divinely inspired, absolutely divinely inspired. And I dedicated it to my father. It's a fictitious book, science fiction. But in the book, the lead character finds out his father, his late father, was a scientist who worked with UFOs and reverse alien technology, which I think my dad may have done. Why? My dad worked for the U.S. Army for 45 years. He was an electronics engineer, Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. My dad invented and designed missiles, radar systems, and drones from 1951 to 96. So everything my dad did for the Army either flew in the sky or spied on our enemies. So everything he did flew in the sky. After he died, I asked my mother if he ever mentioned UFOs. She said no, but when he started his job at Fort Monmouth in 1951, they took him into the vaults deep in the vaults, and they showed him something extraordinary, and they said, this is top, top secret. You can never tell anyone what you saw here today, as long as you live. He came home. My mother said he came home pale, and he was shaky and nervous. She said, what's wrong? He goes, I saw something today I can never tell anyone about as long as I live. So my mother said he was never the same after that. So when I had my divine moment at the deli, and I realized my dad looked at this craft gene like he knew what it was, and he winked at me and said, let's go home. Well, when my dad winked at me, I believe he knew what that thing was. And not only that, I think my dad may have been involved in its design. And I truly in my heart believe it may have been used, reverse engineered alien technology, because it was the biggest thing you ever saw in the sky that was silent and hovering. And I don't know that we had that technology in 1970.
Well, we assume, of course, that whatever they test is maybe half a decade ahead of what they show. So it's not unusual also to think that maybe we did reverse engineer something. But I have this kind of opinion, which is not meant to be skeptical, just a sense of reality, that if a spaceship came here from a race hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, how would we even be able to grasp their technology? I mean, take your iPhone, for example, or whatever smartphone you have.
And
go back to Bell Labs in 1947 when the transistor was invented and say, here it is, figure it out.
Well, Gene, if you add in, and I don't know, and I have no idea, but if you add in that the that there are friendly aliens here who have been helping us and have explained these technologies to us, then, you know, then it would make sense. So I agree with you. If you gave an iPhone to a caveman, what's he going to do with it? You know, use it for a door stopper. You didn't have doors even. But
I was thinking of something more, something where there is technology.
Analyze the electronics, then maybe, I don't know. I really can't. I don't know.
Well, for example, your iPhone has what? The equivalent of billions of transistors. So you think about the first transistor, and that sized module now has billions of the same thing. That's what makes it most interesting to me. I remember the first transistor radios back in the 50s. Jim, like I said, a tad older than you. I remember walking around with my transistor radio. It never seemed to sound as good as my tube radio, though. But my tube radio burned through batteries so quickly. Dan Hariri, Hollywood guy, talking about his book, a novelization of something that was based on fact. With Gene and Tim, you're in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is a USA News update. President Biden says he's ordered the Department of Defense to limit distribution of sensitive information after classified intelligence documents were leaked online. 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira faces multiple charges under the Espionage Act. Abortion rights supporters demonstrated outside the Supreme Court Saturday. They were rallying for continued access to the abortion pill, mifepristone. Police say two people are dead and four are wounded in a shooting Saturday night in a park in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the second shooting in a week in the city. Mayor Craig Greenberg says that's tough.
This has been an unspeakable week of tragedy for our city.
Authorities in Georgia confirm a fire at a Brunswick plastics factory is out. This is Karen Sloan, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, let's continue with Dan. So this original sighting in which you and your dad saw a UFO, but that wasn't the end of it, was it?
No, so that story was part A and part B. Part A was 1970 sighting. Part B, like I told you, and this is true, I forgot about that for 47 years. Now, recently, people have asked me, hey, Dan, you know, were you taken? Did you have missing time? No, it was nothing like that. When I was 14 and had that sighting, I had, you know, I had drums. I was in rock and roll bands. I was staring at girls in mini skirts, you know, trying to get up the courage to talk to them. I wasn't thinking about aliens and UFOs in 1970. So that was a major sighting. Then we jump to the year 1996. 1996, I had been divorced. I had two kids. My ex-wife moved out to Lancaster, California, which is the high desert. She lived near Edwards Air Force Base. And in 96, my son was 8, and I got him a telescope. I used to visit my children on the weekends up in Lancaster in the desert. So one weekend, my son and I were using this telescope, watching the sky. Now, in L.A., where I live, you can't see the sky quite often because it's very smoggy. In the last few days here, it's been very smoggy. But in Lancaster, you can see the stars and the black sky, and it's crystal clear at night. So we were looking through a telescope in 96, probably summer, and we saw on the far right corner of the sky, a bright egg-shaped object, bright sort of off-white, off-yellow color, streaming across the entirety of the sky from the far right-hand corner of the sky, as far as I could see to the right, all the way across the entire sky, all the way to the far left of the sky in a straight line. I said to my son, Jordan, I go, look, we just saw a satellite. It's a satellite. How cool is that, right? Then, Gene, the object stopped, for about 30 seconds where it was, and then it reversed course, and it went all the way back across the entirety of the sky in the same exact line it had first traveled in. And I said, okay, well, that's certainly not a satellite or an asteroid or a meteor. I don't think that's anything man-made. I don't think we can do that. So that was my second sighting. The next step of this journey is the year 2007. I was at a bookstore, just killing time at a bookstore, and I saw the paranormal books aisle. And I'm a bibliophile. I love books. I have hundreds and hundreds of books, mostly biographies I like to read. When I saw a paranormal aisle in 07, I'd never really looked at that aisle before in my life. And I looked, I saw aliens and UFOs and crop circles and ghosts and poltergeists and past lives and all these wonderful things that are fascinating. And I looked at it and I said, wow, this is so cool. I don't know about any of these things. I don't know about any of this at all. I have no information. So I bought 12 books, as many as I could carry, brought them home, started reading them and realizing if you start to study the UFO history of the world, that we are not alone and we've never been alone. My eyes were opened in 07. I joined MUFON LA. I joined MUFON LA that same year, 07. And one of the earliest lectures at a MUFON gathering was Giorgio Tsoukalos. And everyone knows Giorgio because he has the crazy, wild, crazy black hair. And he's the creator of the Ancient Aliens TV show on History Channel. He's Eric Von Daniken's protege. So in 07, Giorgio gave an hour and a half lecture about ancient alien theory and cave drawings and petroglyphs, biblical references to UFOs, Renaissance paintings that had UFOs in the background. And he's telling me the theories that he and Eric Von Daniken are believers in. And Gene, I started to cry, And I was like, oh my God, this is the history of mankind that we don't know. It's unbelievable to me. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I went up at the end, I shook his hand, I hugged him, I go, Giorgio, man, I go, you just opened my eyes to a whole new world. So since then, I've been a member of MUFON LA. That's that. And then in 08, this is the last part of the story, 08, MUFON LA meeting, James Gilliland did a lecture. Do you know James Gilliland?
I know of him. He's not been on the show.
Okay, so James Gilliland owns a ranch in Washington State. It's now called the Eceti Ranch, E-C-E-T-I. It's at the base of Mount Adams. It used to be an Indian reservation hundreds of years ago. James Gilliland is a cleric, and he owns this ranch, and it's a world-famous UFO hotspot. And he gave a lecture at MUFON LA, and he showed slide after slide and video and video, and I'm like, wow, I got to go there, man. I want to see some UFOs. I got to go there. So in 08, a girlfriend of mine and I went, spent the weekend at James Gilliland's ranch. During the days, they had seminars and lectures and talks. I think Nick Pope might have been there. William Henry, I remember, was there. And then at night, they built a bonfire. It was open air. So they built a bonfire, and people would play guitar, sing and dance around the bonfire. And we'd look up at the sky and sort of like be praying for a sighting. So the first night, Friday, praying, sighting, nothing, absolutely nothing. Second night, Saturday, same thing, bonfire, dancing, praying for a sighting, absolutely nothing. The third night, Sunday, the last night, I said to my girlfriend, you know what, let's just give this a few minutes and then let's leave so we can beat the traffic. And right after I said that, Gene, a huge craft out of absolutely nowhere showed up. Directly above us, there must have been 300 of us there. Directly above our head, it was sort of a black teardrop-shaped craft, dark, and underneath it was a bright emerald green light. Beautiful, the most beautiful emerald green you ever saw in your life. Bright emerald green. It was hovering above our head a few hundred feet. It flashed on and off three or four times, the light. Flashed on and off right over us as if to say, hello, we're here. We acknowledge you. We wanted to say hello. We were in the neighborhood. We hope you're well. We love you. But 2 seconds later, that thing took off. It just took off and it was gone. And we cried. I cried. People were crying and hugging and kissing and dancing. It was a wonderful moment. So those are my three UFO sightings. But again, it was till after my dad passed that I got this vision to write a book called After They Came. And it was inspired by my first sighting in 70 with my father.
That's the way it always is, though, when it comes to when people go out on UFO hunts. It's like you said, I mean, you're there for 3 days, and then you're like, let's just wait.
Right.
One more minute, and then we'll leave. And then stuff happens. You're fortunate, though, because a lot of people are like, let's just leave. And then afterwards, people will be like, you shouldn't have left because, you know, it was like 20 craft came down, and the little gray guys came out and shook everyone's hands and then left. You missed it.
Tim, I was very grateful that I didn't. I really was looking at my car thinking, if I leave now, there were 300 people there. And I'm like, if I leave right now, I'll beat all the cars out of this ranch. And then, I don't know, I'm telling you, 10 minutes later, we had the sighting. It was very cool.
Did you feel like, especially after that particular sighting, that you may have been left with some kind of mental imprint, for want of a better word? Because, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who have had that kind of sighting where something comes very close overhead. And it may seem like just, you know, a standard UFO sighting. But then afterwards, you're left with an impression that there was some kind of communication that went back and forth. Did you feel that way afterwards?
Yeah, 100% yes. I felt that they were there to absolutely say hello. They flashed their light on and off directly above us. It was literally them saying, hi, hello, we're here, we see you. It was a wonderful moment in my life. I started to cry. People were crying.
Let's break it here. We'll continue with Dan and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So Daniel says people were crying at this point in time. Tell us more.
Sure. So again, I'm at the James Gilliland Ysetti Ranch. It was 4th of July weekend of 2008. And again, 3 days of, you know, seminars and films and videos and presentations and people like Nick Pope and William Henry speaking and great information. And then at night, we laid out. Some people had sleeping bags. Some people had lawn chairs. We were out in this huge field at the base of Mount Adams. And again, Friday night, nothing. Saturday night, nothing. Sunday night, as I wanted to leave, just one indescribable craft. I mean, you remember in The Wizard of Oz, you know, remember when the movie turns into color and you see the Emerald City and how gorgeous that emerald green color was? This was like that emerald green on steroids. It was this most remarkably warm, rich emerald green color. To me, I could still almost feel it in my soul. It felt like the color was warming my heart. It was a very deliberate communication, Tim, for sure. It was interactive. Women were crying. I cried. People were hugging. It was like, what? And after it left, we were all like, wow. To this day, and this is how many years later, 08, and I still could remember it vividly, and it touched me deeply. I realized that there were intelligent life that exists, absolutely exists for sure. That was not man-made, but what I saw was the way it took off and disappeared. It was not man-made. There's no way. Yes, it was communicative, interactive, warming. I was blessed by that. I wasn't taken. Nobody was taken. We don't have missing time. I wasn't abducted. I know people that have been abducted. I've met quite a few in the last 2 months. But no, nothing like that for me. But it was a warm, spiritual, wonderful awakening for me.
Remind me, Mount Adams and the area around that, is that known for UFO activity?
Washington State. Okay, so Kenneth Arnold, right? We all know this Kenneth Arnold story.
Mm-hmm.
June 47, he saw, nine discs. Mount Adams is one of the mountains in the range. I forget which mountain. His might have been Mount Rainier. It's one of the mountains in the Washington State mountain range. When I was at the ranch, I asked James the history, and he said it used to be an Indian reservation. He said that Mount Adams had an Indian name. I don't remember the name, but he said it meant the Shining Mountain because the Indians hundreds of years ago would see lights coming and going from the mountain at all hours of the day and night. If you Google the Ysetti Ranch, you'll see there are still photos of flying saucers coming in and out of Mount Adams. I did not see that. I wish I had. I really wish I had. I did not see that. But there are photos of flying saucers coming in, inside and out of Mount Adams.
What did your girlfriend think about this after the after this sighting? I mean, was she as thrilled as you were? Because I know a lot of times, you know, sort of like, oh, gosh, I want to see a UFO. And then when they actually see one, they end up being just scared.
It's a great question. I'm trying to remember, because we broke up a few months later over other things. I think she was enthralled. I remember her smiling, and we hugged. I mean, it was joyous. It really was joyous. Those of us who were there were people were just strangers were hugging other strangers. It was a group event. It was a group moment in time. I believe Barbara enjoyed it. Maybe not as much as me. I don't even know if she'd remember it today, so many years later. But it was profoundly moving to me. But yeah, I'm sure she did. She was smiling and happy about it.
So at one time, people would go on pilgrimages to religious locations, looking for God or angels or whatever at particular places. And this experience, to me, sounds almost spiritual. I've talked about this before on this show and other shows, that a lot of people nowadays, they don't go seeking God or angels, but instead UFOs have kind of filled that niche. You know, it's the 21st century religion. I mean, do you get that impression from locations and events such as this and others that have occurred around the world?
I went to this. Well, I'm not sure if I can really. If I'm the right person to answer. I went to that retreat for the lectures and the seminars and the documentaries and the information during the days, and with the hopes that maybe in a million years I'll see a UFO from a distance for 2 seconds, maybe, if I'm lucky. So I didn't go there hoping really I was going to see a sighting. I really went for the knowledge and to be outdoors for the weekend was to camping outside. That was fun, you know. I would say, looking back at that now, the fact that that craft flashed its green light above my head, if I had to call that a religious experience, I would say, I would say that, yeah, that was. I was profoundly touched. And again, it made me cry. I felt moved. I can still feel the warm feeling now today. People that go out and have these UFO events out at night, and I work a lot. I work a lot. I don't travel much. I don't go to those things. I know I would love them. And anyone who goes out and sees UFOs out in the desert, I wish them well, and I hope it affects them as positively as it affected me. But I would say yes. I would say it was a semi-religious experience for me.
Now, let me ask you about that, the religious experience. Of course, you were bar mitzvahed. You're a nice Jewish boy from New Jersey. How does a nice Jewish boy from New Jersey cope with the possible religious experience encounter with a UFO?
Well, that's a great question. And it was a year earlier when in 07, I was a nice Jewish boy. I did the holidays. I fasted on Yom Kippur, all that stuff. From the 60s until the year 2007. 2007, I went to MUFON LA. I met Giorgio. Giorgio did that session that I mentioned earlier. And Gene, when I'm telling you, when I drove home that night, I said to myself, well, there goes my religion. There goes Judaism, because there's holes now. What, Moses and the Israelites thought was God was extraterrestrials. I'm convinced of that. In fact, the very, very first page of my book, There's a quote from Exodus, from the Jewish Bible, from Exodus. Can I read it to you?
Sure.
And I think Giorgio must have presented this, because when I saw this quote, my mind was blown. This is from Exodus, the Jewish Bible, first page of my book. The Lord went before the Israelites by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. Exodus 13:21. Okay, let's think about that, right? A pillar of light that led the Israelites through Egypt. I don't think that's God. I think that's a UFO. I believe that's a craft. What else could that possibly be? It was a craft. You know the expression manna from heaven? You know, we all love God, but I don't think God did manna from heaven. But I think that craft certainly did, because that's how the Israelites lived in the desert for 40 years. There's no food there. So my Judaism took a way back seat, Gene, to answer your question. And I love God in my own way, but I know extraterrestrials exist. I truly believe in ancient alien theory. I met Eric Von Daniken a month ago, and I hugged him. I said, thank you for all you've done for us. And I believe that extraterrestrials crafted mankind. I believe that we are of their design. And sure, of course, there's a God. God had to have created the aliens. The aliens didn't create themselves. There has to be God.
More into the ancient astronauts with Gene and Tim and Dan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.